Okay, we're going to discuss, and the Gemara is trying to figure out. The Mishnah has a list of items that require a certain amount of dayanim, and the Gemara wants to know what's the difference in the list. And the list seems almost too extensive, to the point where you have broad categories and subcategories that are being listed or enumerated here. So Rabbi Bo was the first one to try to solve the problem. When the Mishnah says dinim emonot, it doesn't mean dinim emonot as a category, but rather dinim emonot colon. What is dinim emonot? So Rabbi Bo says zgelot v'chavalot. So that's what's included in it. The subcategory of zelot v'chavalot is defining for us what are dinim emonot that require three people for a beis din. Question then is, what did that exclude? So Rabbi Bo told us that excluded hoda'ot v'halva'ot. Hodot and Hovot are excluded. Now, once you've excluded Hodot and Hovot, what does that mean? That's what the Gemara wants to know. We're going to start here from the 11 lines up from the bottom of Bet and Bet. So Gemara says, what's the difference between whether you're included in the Mishnah or you're not included in the Mishnah? If we say by Zilot and Chavalot, you do require three, and by Hodot and Hovot, you don't, what's the difference between them? The Mai. So if, what's the difference between these two? Elim, Adzalot, Be'in, and Shlosha, what do you want to suggest? Those that are enumerated in the Mishnah need three judges, whereas if you're not enumerated in the Mishnah, you don't need three judges? V'amar Rabbi Bo, Shnaim Shedanu, Dinei Mimanot, the Divar Kol, and Dinem Din. That if you have two judges, that's not classified as a proper din. If it's not classified as a proper din, then what do you mean you can't have Shlosha? You must have Shlosha then. So Shlosha is a requirement, even by Hoda'ot V'Halva'ot, to make it into a proper Beis Din and to have a proper adjudication of any matter, then that difference is not why the Hoda'ot V'Halva'ot are excluded from Dinei Mimonot. So what could be the difference between them? It's Ela, D'lo Be'in and Mumchim. The other possibility is that you do not require Mumchim. Mumchim is defined as those that are Smuchim, that have Smicha, plus they have Rishut from the Nasi to be done. That these are real shoftim, real judges that have to be used in this case. So now, Micah Savar. So how does Rabbi Bo come to this position? I mean, that how do you know that you need three judges or three mumchim by chavalot, gzilot and chavalot? And why does that not apply by hodot valvot? So what's the suggestion? Ika Savar, eruv parshiot kotuv kan. If he thinks that the parshiot are mixed, then libayi nami mumchim, then we should also require mumchim. What does it mean that the parshiot are mixed? That is this week's parsha. So we have it to read by the parsha of Shomer Chinam. By the parsha of Shomer Chinam, there's a pasuk which we learned in Baba Kama and other places. We've seen this. The machlokes about the pasuk that's found in the parsha of Shomer Chinam that says ki asher yomar ki huzeh, right? That the ki huzeh, the Gemara darshins for modeh b'miktzat. A person who's modeh b'miktzat is chayav. So there, the Gemara argues about when it says ki huzeh. When it says Kiuzeh, is that something, a totally separate parsha? It has nothing to do with Shomer Chinam. It happens to be placed here, but it has nothing to do with Shomer Chinam. It's all talking about Halva'ot. It's talking about loans. So when it comes to a loan, when it comes to denial of owing money, then you need Modeh Miksat. Aval HaKofer Bekol would be Patur from a Shvua. So those who require Shvua, someone's Modeh Miksat. That's one possibility. The other possibility is Erev Parshiot K'tuv Kan, which is what the suggestion here is, that it's also involved. This has to do with the Shomrim, Parshat Shomrim as well. And therefore, by Parshat Shomrim, we will always also require Modeh B'Miktzat or some form of Modeh B'Miktzat. So now he says, alright, what does Rabbi Abba hold? If Rabbi Abba holds Eru Parshiot, Katuv Kan, that we have a mixing of the Parshiot, that means that even by Halva'ot, the Pasuk has relevance here and is mixed in, then the Bayinami Mumchin, then you should require mumchim by halvot hodot, because here you have a parsha of hodot and halvot that's fixed in the middle of a parsha of shomer chinam. And we're going to see in a second how we learn out the limud of three. But if you think that the limud of three comes from that pasuk as well, that means that both by gzilot and chavalot and by hodot halvot, you're going to require three mumchim. So that can't be the difference. So now, ikasavar, if you say ein eruvio parshiot katuv kan, if you say there's no eruv parshiot kan, shlosha lomali, then why do you need three at all? Because the whole limud of three comes from the fact that hodot valvot are also found in the psukim by shomer chinam. But if they're not found there, then how do you know you need three by hodot valvot? The answer is you don't. And then you won't require three. So if you don't require three, we just saw Rabbi Bo thought that you do need three. That you need three for all cases. So, by definition, if Rabbi Bo says you require three, that means that he believes that it's Erev Parshiot. He believes Erev Parshiot, that he also requires Mumchim by both of them. So how could you, what is the difference in the Mishnah that it claims that Dinei Mamonot only apply to Gzilot Chavalot, and not to Odot Volovot? Where it says, the Olam Kasavar, Erev Parshiot Katuv Kan. So no, that's Erev Parshiot is written here. Ube Dinu, Dilubayi Nami Mumchim. Truthfully, Agalt and Avot are exactly the same as Gzilot and Chavalot. They have the same requirements. Three Dayanim, Mumchim. Exact same. If that's the case, they should have been enumerated in the Mishnah. Why are they not enumerated in the Mishnah? That is a Tachanat Chachamim. The reason we don't require Dini Mumchim over here is because Rabbi Chanina, Dama Rabbi Chanina, Devar Torah, Echad Dini Mimonot, Echad Dini Nefashot, Bedrisha Uvechakira. When it comes to the checking of the evidence or looking into the veracity of the Edim, by Dini Nefashot, we have a higher standard of Drisha Chakira, which is that we ask a significant amount of questions with them, specific questions that we ask them to try to ascertain whether they're telling the truth or whether they are consistent in their statements. We say that that is only true by Dinei Nefashot, but not by Dinei Mimonot. Why? Rabbi Chanina says it's not true. It should be equally applicable by Dinei Nefashot, Dinei Mimonot. Why don't we do it? There's one type of judgment, meaning there's only one type of adjudication that takes place, and that adjudication requires the highest standard of evidence, whether it's Dinei Nefashot or Dinei Mimonot. So why is the halacha that you don't require drisha v'chakira by Dinei Mimonot? We won't want to make it possible for people to lend money. If people are at risk of losing their principal when they lend money because they're afraid that when the Edim show up in court, Beis Din will, you know, take out their fine-tooth comb on the Edim, and then they will passel the Edim. If they passel the Edim, he can't collect his money. So if we make it too hard for the Malved to get his money back, he will not lend money. Again, we keep reiterating this, we say this in Baba Batra again, there is no risk-adjusted lending over here. The only way a person lends money is that he's expecting his principal back. He's not getting paid for it, he's not getting any interest for it. The only thing that he has is that he actually gets his principal back. If we make it too hard for him to get his principal back, he's just not going to lend the money. So the answer is that we want to make it easier. So we lighten the burden of evidence from the Edim in order to make it easier to get his money back. So now, Elamiata, there's two ways to read this. Rashi reads this. One way is Elamiata to lo yishalmu. Koshkin shatanuel delet mifnei lavin. So now, what are you going to say? Now you're going to suggest that when you make a mistake, a dayan who's a mumche, who makes a mistake, does not have to pay. I mean, that's the whole purpose. The whole purpose of being a mumche that is appointed to be a dayan is that gives you a certain amount of protection against mistakes, that if you do make an honest mistake there, that you will not have to repay the money. So Rashi says, well, if you're going to allow us to use hedyotot by Dinei Mimonot, and they will not then be required to pay, because now what do we just suggest? We just said that Reb Chanina is the reason that there's a difference between Dinei Gzelot and Chabalot and Hodot Valvot. What is that? We say, well, there's a difference between Nefashot and Mimonot. The difference between Nefashot and Mimonot is that we don't acquire Jewish Bechakira Mimonot because we want to allow the market to stay liquid with loans and we don't want to prevent the creditor from collecting. The Gemara is suggesting from there that the same is true by Mumchim. That by Gzeilot Chavalot will require Mumchim. But by Hodot Vavot we won't require Mumchim. Why? We don't want to be Tinol Delet Bifnei Lavin. We don't want to cause there to be a problem if for loans or people who are lending money to regain their principal or to have their money repaid. So how do you do that? You say anybody can be a judge. Now, once you make anybody into a judge, that means that you've given them the status of judge. What does the status of judge entitle you to? Protection. Protection under the law that you're not culpable if something goes wrong, if you make an honest mistake. So now what have you done? This is the question. Is that basically you've now entertained the possibility that you have three judges, right, who are hedyotot, and those hedyotot will be protected from making mistakes. So then we say, koshakein, that you'll deal with non-delit if lavin. Nobody's going to lend money based on that. Why? They're going to think they're going to get some, right, some crackerjack judges that are all protected from mistakes. They won't worry about making mistakes. And they'll rule against him, and he'll be at risk of not getting his principal back. So that would make it even worse. Number one question. That's the way Rashi reads it. And then, the Tosfot, on the other hand, reads it. So Rashi reads it, if you're going to protect the dayanim who are hedjutot, if you protect these dayanim of hedjutot, then you're definitely going to close out the market. So we're not going to go that far to say that they're protected. But nevertheless, we will allow hedjutot to do the din, and we will not require mumim, mumchin, and we won't require jishav hachakirai b'dinim b'monot. Tosfos on the other hand reads it that the question here is that the kosher cane is, what does it mean, kosher cane, that you will be noel delet b'fnei lavin? So he says that if you classify the chayshet l'nila delet, that we should say, the Gemara is suggesting over here, because you say that shelo tinol delet b'fnei lavin, then kosher cane you should say tol lo yishalmu. If you need to get judges, and you want to make it easy and for him to collect the judge, what are you going to do? You're going to say that any judge who comes is patur. So any judge who comes is not going to be held culpable. Because you want to make it easy for the creditor to get a court together. You want to get a court together, the guy's going to be on the hook. If he makes a mistake, he's going to be less likely to volunteer to be on the court. If you tell him he's protected and he's not on the hook for judging and making a mistake, then he'll be, all right, sure, I'll do this. I'll do this case. So then the Gemara says, no, you can't go down that direction. Because why? Kosher cane makes it even worse. I mean, if you're trying here to protect the creditors by allowing them to have these judges be protected judges, you're going to actually make the situation worse. Because then you're going to get people who are not qualified, you're going to get unqualified judges, and that's going to make the situation worse in the end. So what you're trying to do is make it better or more liquid or easier for the creditors to lend money and be willing to lend monies. By doing that, you're actually hurting the situation. Because you're going to come up with a situation where the wrong answer or the solution to the problem becomes worse than what you're trying to actually help out. So now Gemara says, Yochi, if Rabbi Abba's solution is really the solution that we say, Dine Mamonot, colon, Gzelot v'chavalot, if that's true, so he says, Yochi, Tarte Iktani. Why does it write it twice? Right? It writes it, Dine Mamonot v'shlosha. Right? So if you have to do this double lashon, or why, if you're saying this, you should write it. Why don't you just write it like this? Dinim amonot bishlosha. That's what our mission says. Gzelot chavalot bishlosha. Be much easier to write it like this. Say ichachi katartik tani. Dinim amonot bishlosha hedjodot. Gzelot chavalot tot bishlosha mumchim. Right. So why not? Then it's really two different dinim. Right. It's, why can't you just separate it and say dinim amonot means hudat v'alvaot. And they have a different din of shlosha edyotot. Then you have gzelot chavadot, that means shlosha mumchim. Why do you have to enjoin them and make them into a general statement, and then gzelot chavadot be a subcategory? Why not just separate them and say, din mamonot means hadad vavot, gzelot chavadot are a separate category. That's number one. Number two is, according to you, Rabbi Bo, shlosha shlosha lomali. If you think that it's really a general category and then a subcategory, then why do you write din mamonot b'shlosha colon, right? Gzelot chavalot bishlosha. The word shlosha does not need to be repeated. Either you can say dinim amonot colon gzelot chavalot bishlosha, or write dinim amonot shlosha colon gzelot chavalot. To repeat the word shlosha doesn't seem to make sense. We've seen Tosfos before. Tosfos is actually like a hint to it here that the Mishnayot are inconsistent in this. They are inconsistent in applying this rule. Even sometimes when they use a general principle, they'll say the word twice. Sometimes they won't. So it's not as strong a question. But the basic point is that you could have separated the two out. Why are you making it into a general principle colon? And that's what ends up happening. El Rama Rava. Rava says, Tarte Iktani. It's actually two different statements. Mishum de Rabbi Chanina. Because of Rabbi Chanina, we actually have two statements, which is, Dine Mamonot Bishlosha Mishlosha Hedjotot. And Dine Mamonot means Hodad V'Halvaot. And that's why you need three. Why Shlosha Hedjotot and not Shlosha Mumchim? That's Rabbi Chanina over here who says that we're makil by Hodot Volvot to allow the creditors or to encourage the creditors to lend money. Gzelot Chavalot v'Shlosha, that's Shlosha Mumchim, that's Mikar Adin. So that's why you have two statements. That's the second solution. So Rabbi Abba, first solution. Rava, second solution. Third solution is V'achavirivuv Ika Amar Midoraita Chad Nami Kosher. When it comes to the Torah, one dayan is sufficient. Shenemar, tzedek tishpot amitecha. You can judge your friend, tzedek. Tishpot is written in the singular. Tishpot means only a single judge. All you need is a single judge in order to adjudicate or to have a case brought before them. So if that's the case, right, ba'udot v'alvot, you say that one is enough, then how did you ever get to three? So that's where it says, Ela Mishum Yoshevei Kranot, So he says that we're afraid that you're just going to get one bad apple. If you pick a guy, you take one guy, then what's going to happen? You're going to get some unqualified guy who has no clue about what he's talking about. Because you're going to pick up some guy off the street and say, listen, what can you judge for us? And you get a guy who doesn't know anything. So what's Gemara's question, right? Basically what you're saying is, you can only find one unqualified person. It's very easy to find three people who have the same problem, which is that none of them know what they're talking about. Three unqualified people, you know, you go to the corner cafe, they're all sitting out there, you take three of them, and three is no better than one. Why does that solve your problem? So Gemara says, no. EF shards leipu chag to come here. Within the percentages are in your favor when it comes to three. When it comes to one person, high likelihood they have no clue. When it comes to three people, it's unlikely that within those three people, there's no one has ever heard something that would make him understand the general principles of halacha by hodot vavot. Whether he's been in a case before, he's met dayanim, he's learned something, and that he has at least some basic knowledge of what should take place. So we say that if you get the three at least, the percentages are in your favor rather than taking one. So Gemara says, okay, oh, mi'ata, tolo yishamu. We'll do the same thing again. They make a mistake, so now you should offer protection. Offer protection to the judges. If you want to, again, ease the situation to, number one, allow the creditors to collect. That's one. But number two is over here, we say, chad nami kasher. One is kasher. Here you want to add three in order to protect the guy. We'll say, well, why don't we give protection? Why? What does protection do for you? Protection says that more qualified people will step up. Right? If you grant no protection, then who's going to come? You're going to get unqualified people. If you offer protection to the judges, then what? You're going to get people who are more qualified. They're going to be more willing to step up and be judges if they're offered protection. The answer again is, kol shekein dinefishei yoshvei kranot. Meaning that if you offer protection, then you're going to get every unqualified character show up because there's nothing to lose. Right? At least somebody who knows something says they could do the right thing, they might think they'll be protected. Here, if you give protection, then every unqualified character is going to show up and say, I can be a judge, I'm ready for you. I mean, what does he have to lose? He has nothing to lose. So here the Gemara says, we can't go that far. So now, Ma'ika ben Rava the Ravacha Breda of Ika. What's the difference between Rava and Ravacha Breda of Ika, who both agree that our Mishnah has two categories, right? A category of, right, Dinei Mimonot, and a category of gezilot chavalot. One is dinei mamonot hodot v'alvot. The other category is gezilot chavalot. They both agree that it's shlosha mumchim is by gezilot chavalot and shlosha hejotot by a hodot v'alvot. They get to it at a different angle, right? Meaning that Rav Acha Breid of Ika starts with one as doraisa and then gets the three through the takanat chachamim, whereas Rava starts with three mumchim and the takanat chachamim reduces it to three hejotot. But in the end, they both only require three hejotot and they have the same din in the end. So what's the difference between them? Ikvinayu damer Shmuel. Their difference between them will be the principle of Shmuel, which we've seen many times. We'll see it again here in Sanhedrin. Is shnayim shadanu dineyam din. Two people who come, you have two judges, and they adjudicate. They hear a case. And they give a psak halacha, what they say is done. Elosh nikru beidin chatzuf. They're mechutzafim. They shouldn't do it. You require three to have a beis din. But the requirement of three is not a necessity in terms of the psak halacha. If you give a psak halacha with two, it works. But that's not what you're supposed to do. That's wrong. But two is okay. So now that question is the Rava lately.
That only the cases of
Ovos? Yeah, that's what it sounds like from Rashi. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says that pasuk is said by Hudot Velvot. That's what Rashi says. Because Gzeil Chavalot we learned from the Dinei Shomrim, so that's what's left over that could be fit into that pasuk. So that's what Rashi suggests over here. So now, if you have, so the Rava lately, according to Rava that says Midoraisa, you require three, then you can't have Shmuel's din. That two works. If midoraisa you require three, that means that, okay, chamim reduced it from mumchim to ejotot, but three is still a din doraisa. So then you can't say that if you have two, it works. Whereas, Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika, idlei de Shmuel, he does paskin like Shmuel, that because he only requires one midoraisa, of course, if you do two, the chamim is to have three. If you have two, we'll accept it, even though it's a beit din chasuf. Because why? Midoraisa, still one is even qualified. So therefore, Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika holds of Shmuel. So, but Joseph mentions over here the fact, even though we paskin generally like Rava, because Rava is a batra, nevertheless, here we paskin like Shmuel. Halacha is still like Shmuel. Why? Because of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, we know, is a Dayan, and Halacha is like Rav Nachman when it comes to anything to do with Dine. So therefore, since Rav Nachman holds of Shmuel, therefore we are going to pass him like Shmuel, even though the Rova does not agree over here with Shmuel. Now that won't be true in all cases, that will be only in cases of adjudication, not in cases of Kiyum Shtarot. Even by Kiyum Shtarot, we require three, and two will not be sufficient. So when we pass him like Shmuel, again, in cases of the case of law or adjudication, that's where we pass like Shmuel, that two will be sufficient. Right now, the Gemara is going to continue with the Mishnah. That's exactly what the Gemara is going to do all the way through here. It's going to go piece by piece through the Mishnah and figure out why everything is mentioned and what does it mean. So the Mishnah then after that says, we require for Nezek, and Chatzi Nezek we require Shlosha. So why do you have to mention? What is different about Chatzi Nezek that's not Nezek? Whole Nezek and half Nezek, it's just a different type of Nezek. It's not, if you say Nezek, it doesn't preclude Chatzi Nezek. So why would you rate both of them? So when it says, Nezek, first of all, Hainu Chavalot, right? Isn't that also Chavalot? We just said, Gzelot B'Chavalot, what is Chavalot? Chavalot is when you injure someone else. So that is Nezek. Shom Dekob Baidem Mitnei Chatzi Nezek. So since it had to write Chatzi Nezek, therefore it wrote Tani Nami Nezek Shalem. It also wrote Nezek Shalem. So when it says, okay, but Chatzi Nezek Nami Hainu Chavalot. Chatzi Nezek is no different either. Chatzi Nezek is also damage to another party. So what, I don't know, you just listed three different manifestations of Nezek. Chavalot, Nezek, and Chatzi Nezek. Why do I need all three of them? So Gemara says, all right, we can solve the problem. Why? Tana Mamona, Viktane Knaso. Wait, there's a difference, because Chatzi Nezek is a Knas. Right? Chatzi Nezek by the din of Shvarim by a short time. Short time should be patur legamre, because we assume that generally there are shamur, and that the balim don't have to make an extra effort to be shomer them, and therefore they go out and they damage. We say, you'd be patur legamre. But the Torah imposed a knas in order to encourage you to watch your shore a little better. It's a knas that you have to pay chatzin ezek. So now I understand why chatzin ezek is mentioned separately, because chatzin ezek is a knas, chavalot is a dinim mamon. So the Mishnah is going to teach you that both by Knasot of Nezek and by Mamonot of Nezek, you need three. That only solves two out of the three mentions. That solves Chavalot and that solves Chatzin Nezek. What about Nezek Shalem? So the Gemara says, because Ate Lemit No, right, Chatzin Nezek, therefore it wrote also Nezek Shalem. So now Chatzin, so because of that, they wrote it. So now the Gemara says, Ani Chalaman Damar Paga Nezek Kansel. Wait a minute, that's from the Gemara in Baba Kama. We know there's a machlokas. Palga Nizk or Chatzi Nezek is a machlokas, whether it's a knas or mamon. We just explained the position that it's a knas, that really you're patur, and the Torah imposed it on you a knas in order to tell you to be more careful. But we know that the other side is there. No, that by tam, you're really chayav the gamre. You should have been watching more properly. But what? The Torah is chas al you. It gives you as a little rachmanis on you. Why? Because we can't have you watch every single shore without the expectation the shore is going to go out and damage. You know, you should have been doing it. We're trying to say, listen, it's very hard to have all these shvarim, to keep an eye on all of them, if you don't know which one is wild. Once you know it's wild, we're going to say, listen, you really got to take care of this. But until you know that it's wild, we're going to give a little break to you. You don't have to pay chatzin ezek. But in that case, it means chatzin ezek is memonahu. Really, you're chayav the whole amount. We're just giving you a discount on the nezek. If that's the case, again, we're back to square one, which is you have Chavalot, Nezek, and Chatzin Nezek, which are all the same thing, paying for damage that you did. So now, what are you going to say? Laman dama paragat niskamona ma'ikal meimar ela aide de koboy de mitna tashlumi kefel v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Well, there are another bunch of items here. What is that? The double payments and four and five payments. That mamon she'eno mishtalem birosh. We're talking about repayments that have nothing to do with the principal. Okay, you're paying beyond the damage that was caused here, beyond the amount that you owe. Right? It's a knas. It's an extension above that. So since we mentioned Teshlumi Kefal and Arba V'Chamisha, which is two times, or four or five times, so in that case, Tana Nami Chatzi Nezek, the Mamon Tein Mishtal and Birosh. So therefore, the Mishnah also included Chatzi Nezek, which is a similar idea, which is that it's not based on the principle. I mean, in the end, everything's based on the principle, but has nothing to do with the principal amount. So you're not repaying your principal amount. But the Shlumei Kefal, you paid the principal, now you're paying in addition to that. Arba Chamisha, you paid the principal amount, you're paying in addition to that. Chatzin Ezek, you're also not paying the principal amount. You're paying half the principal amount. So therefore, since the Mishnah said four or five times in Kefal, it also included Chatzin Ezek, which are exceptions to the rule of paying back the damage that you caused. So now, once we've reached that point in time, we say, So Atu, that we wrote Chatzin Nezek, right? So I didn't call anybody named Chatzin Nezek, Tana Namzin Nezek Shalem. Therefore, Nezek Shalem. So in truth, the only thing that was necessary to mention here is Tashlumi Kefel and Abraham Chamisha, because we had Chabalot already. Once I've let go of Chabalot, then we say, once we did Arbav Chamisha and Kefel, we added Chatzin Nezek. Once I added Chatzin Nezek, I also added Nezek. So I get a whole slew of items that are in addition to this. In the end, then on Chanami, that Havalot, Nezek, and Chatzin Nezek are all the same category, according to one who says, Paganiska Mamona. But, just to keep the flow, or to have the whole category mentioned, they mention these additional items. Right now, the Gemara wants to know, the basic question, which they've skipped until this point, which is very necessary, is, Shlosha Minolan. How do you know that you need three? I mean, the Mishnah assumes that all these items, that you need three judges. Where do you ever know that you need three judges? Where does that come from? The Tana Rabbanan, it's this week's Parsha again. It's nice to have just read the Parsha. Parshat Shomer Chinam, it says, Mikrav Balabait El Elokim, over here it's really El Elohim, right, which would be that the Balabait comes to the judges. So then it says, Ad Elohim Yavo Devar Shnehem, until the judges they will come. And the last one is, Asher Yeshua Elohim, right, the word Elohim is mentioned in the Parsha three times. Elohim referring to judges. So when you have Elohim mentioned three times, you have judges three times. So that comes to teach you that when it comes to going to a court or coming to have a system, you need Elohim, you need three judges. So that's how we read it here. We'll read the Tanur Rabbanan, Nikar Babayit Elohim, Harikan Echad. Ad Elohim Yavo Dvar Shneim, Harikan Shneim. Sher Yashin Elohim, Harikan Shlosha, Tivrei Rabbi Oshia. Which says the word Elohim is mentioned three times in the Parsha, and therefore you have three judges. The first Elohim is necessary in the Parsha, and therefore we're not Dorshin Tchilot. You can't get three out of here. You need the first Elohim, right? So why do you need the first Elohim? Rashi claims because you need it for Mumchim. You need the word Elohim to teach you that not just any Stam guy can be a judge. Elohim means Mumchim. So I need the first one to teach me Mumchim. I can't have that teach me a judge. So now I only have two left. That's what Rashi says. Tosis takes issue then and says, no, that maybe Elohim over here means tchilot, means anytime. The first word is the basic principle of the Torah. I mean, the Torah has to say something. So it says Elohim. Then once you've enumerated the first time, then every extraneous time afterwards you can mention as a count. But the first time you just can't count because you need it. It's necessary as a basic principle. Tosis brings another proof to that. But then he runs into problems because cases we're going to see later on in the Masechta, where the Gemara doesn't have any problem darshaning the first time the word's mentioned, and just saying it's part of the drasha. So Tosfos is a little more questionable when you get it further on. In other cases, he brings an example where it does work, but he does have issues with the way Rashi explains it, because we're going to see in a second that you don't need the word, right, Elohim in the pasuk. You could have written something else. That's the point. The fact that you wrote Elohim already gives you an indication there's something more here, and that's going to be the answer of Rabbi Yonatan. Right, exactly, which is the answer to the Gemara right here. So, how does he learn it? So according to Rabbi Yonatan, who says, we're not Dorish Tchilot, how does he learn out three? He says, El Ad Elohim Yavo Dvar Shneihem, Harikan Echad, Asher Yashiun Elohim, Harikan Shneim. Vein Beitin Shakul. You can't have an even basin. You're right, you have two judges. But once you have two judges, you can't have a basin that's comprised of two judges. Why? Then you can have a tie. We don't want any to have a tie. You can't have a case where one says yes, one says no, one says chayav, one says patur. Then you can't have, you don't have a solution. So it says you have a beitin shakol mosif and aleinu echad. You have to add one. Arikan shlosha. Now you have three judges. So nemar b'darshim tchilot kamifligay. Let us say that's exactly what they're arguing about. They argue about this principle that they're, according to Tosfos, you'll add a darshan the first time the word appears. According to Rashi, whether it's necessary to have the word, right, Elohim in the pasuk, meaning that you need it for mumchim already, or no, you would have known mumchim even without it written there. So what's the Gemara say? The Mar Sabra Dorshim Tchilot. Right, we do Dorish Tchilot with Rabbi Yoshia. Umar Sabra in Dorshim Tchilot with Rabbi Yonatan. Mar says, lo, to kol yama in Dorshim Tchilot. Everybody agrees you don't dash in the first word. So Amar Lecha, Rabbi Yoshia, and in came. Nemar Krav and Yikrav, Balabait, Ela, Shofet. Like you just said, Shof, that you could have written Yikrav, Balabait, Ela, Shofet. Why does it use the term Elohim? So the word Elohim comes to teach you, my Elohim, Shema Mino, Lemin Yodo. So according to Tosfos, that means that the use of the word Elohim is not necessary here, and therefore you can count it towards the Drasha. According to Rashi, you've learned out the thing, fact of Mumchim from the change from Shofet to Elohim. But that still means that Elohim is written three times, because that drasha comes from the lack of shofet, using Elohim versus shofet, but doesn't diminish the fact that there's also Elohim written here three times. and therefore you can learn it out. So everybody agrees Ein Dorshin Techilah. The question is, the jump from Shofet to Elohim, is that meaningful? So that's how Rabbi Yoshua is going to explain it. That extra word Elohim comes to teach you the count. So now, Rabbi Yonatan, Lishna the Almanokot. Torah picked a language that was known, or, well, Shofet, Elohim, they're in there. Gande Inche. Mante Itledino, Likarev the Gabi Daino. Someone has a case, brings it to the judges. So Daino, or Elohim, is a term. The term Elohim is used. It's not, as opposed to Rabbi Yoshua, who believes that the term Elohim is exceptional, versus Shofet. Rabbi Yonah says, no, Elohim is a word that you have to say something, and Elohim means judge, and that's what judge. When you say, I come to tell the case, I bring it before the judge. Elohim is just another synonym for judge. It's not that it's anything exceptional. So because of that, he says, I can't darshan tchilot, and he has to come to the drasha through Beis Din Shakul. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, for Rabbi Yoshua lately, Beit Din Anotel? What about Rabbi Yoshua over here requires the pasuk to enumerate three judges for you? What does that indicate? That means if the pasuk only had told you two judges, you wouldn't have gotten to three. So Rabbi Yoshua believes you can have an equal based in? Is that really possible? Va'atanya, Rabbi Lezer, Benosh, Rabbi Yossi, Agli, Omer, Matam, Omar, Limtot, Acharei, Rabim, Latot. Right, that you go after the majority. You pass them after the majority. You have to make a basin that has the ability to have a majority. If you have an equal basin, you don't have a majority. Make a basin that can have a majority. So Rabbi says, no, Sabalak Rabbi Yehuda Damar Shivim. Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yehuda, we just saw in our Mishnah, the Machlok is about the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So the Sanhedrin HaGadol comprised of 71 or 70. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that it's comprised of 70. So you see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you could have a Beis Din Shakol. You can have an even Beis Din. Vitznan, Sanhedrin HaGdolah Ita Shel Shivim Echad. The big Beis Din is at a 71. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shivim, says 70. So my says, wait a minute. Eimar, Dishmai, Le, the Rabbi Yehuda, Sanhedrin HaGdolah, Tiktivi Krai. So he says, listen, by Beis Din HaGdolah is an exceptional case where we have 70 because of the Pasuk. He dashes it out of the Pasuk that it says, Shivim Zekenim. You have 70 Zekenim, you have 70. 70 means 70. Not 71. So therefore, because of Pesukim say it. But the other types of cases where you do 23 or 3, where it's not, the number is not explicit in the Pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you're not going to have a Beis Din Shakol. So someone says, Diktive Krai, Bishar Dine, Mishmaile. Who says by any other court that he's going to agree to this? V'chete Maloshna, if you say it makes no difference, and he doesn't agree to that, well, what about our Mishnah? You know what our Mishnah says? V'atznan. Smichat Zekenim, Verifat Egla. When it comes to the Zekenim putting their, you know, doing the vidui, putting their hands on top of the par, Helam Dabar Shel Tzibor, or Arfiyat Egla, Bishlosha, Dibri Reb Shimon, you require three according to Reb Shimon. If you do a Meir B'chavisha, you need five. Why do you need that? Farmina, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. Why do you require five according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because it says, Vitzamchu is in plural, Shnayim. Zekenim or Ziknei, right, is Shnayim, is plural also, you have two. That equals four. Vein Beis Din Shkokol, and you can't have a even numbered Beis Din, so that gets you to five. Mosifilim Alechad, Harikan Hei, that gets you to five. So you clear, even Rabbi Yehuda, he clearly says that he holds, or he subscribes to the principle that you can't have an even Beis Din. So
it's excluded by Shivim.
Right, you have a Pasuk that tells you Shivim, so that's the case where you don't apply it. But anywhere else, we're going to apply this principle that you can't have a Beis Din Shakul. So how can you say Rabbi Yoshua over here is holding like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't hold like that. So how can Rabbi Yoshua hold like that? So Agmar says, no, that's right. Rabbi Yoshua is different from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yoshua is like Rabbi Yehuda, but he's even better. What do you mean even better? He thinks that you don't need Beis Din Shakul across the board. You can have a Beis Din Shakul anywhere. Says the Eilu Rabbi Yehuda b'Sandrei G'dolahu Deletlei Abishar Benidene Itlei. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the application of an even Beis Din is by Sandrei G'dolahu by the Pesukim of 70. But Shar Benidene Itlei, any other Beis Din, you can't have an even Beis Din. Rabbi Yehuda b'Shar Benidene Nama Letlei, he doesn't require. Well, now what are you going to do with the pasuk that tells us you go after the majority? Avahai Lintot Mayavilei. What's he going to do with the pasuk that says that you should have a Beis Din that can be swayed by a majority? Says Mukum La b'dinei Fashot. He can explain that by Dinei Fashot. So at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's very easy to explain. Where does that pasuk apply? It applies to all other batei dinim chutz misanhedrin gdolah. So that's where the pasuk applies. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who never requires the uneven Beis Din, where does the majority rules apply? Says what? Rabbi Yoshua. Where does it apply? He says by what? By a case of Dinei Nefashot. We're not talking about the minimum note over here. Get the dinner for sure. That'll be where we go after the majority. So Gemara says, "Aval b'dinim minanot lo." Is that really true? By dinim amanot, we're not going to have the majority rule. But it's not. Shnayim omrim zakai, v'chad omer chayav. Two say yes, you know, or patur. One says chayav, right? Then he's zakai. We go after the majority. Shnayim omrim, if you have a case where two say chayav, v'chad omer zakai, and one says patur, chayav. Name of the lok Rabbi Yoshia. So we have to suggest over here that it's not Rabbi Yoshi's opinion over here. Because you're going to have three judges, you have to rule by the majority. Now, rule by the majority only comes if you learn out the fact that you need judges or an uneven or an odd number of judges from the pasuk that tells you majority. You need a majority. Why? Because majority rules. But where does Rabbi Yoshi learn out that you need three judges from? Is he learning out from majority rules? No. He learns out from pasuk that says Elohim, Elohim, Elohim three times that you require three judges. So now what are you going to have to say? Rabbi Yoshi requires unanimous decisions. He's not learning out the fact that judges go after the majority to teach you that you need an odd number of judges. He's learning it out from the fact that the pasuk requires three judges. If the pasuk requires three judges, that means they're going to require a unanimous decision. So now you're going to suggest that Rav Moshe is not the author of this mission that he goes, says you go after the majority because he requires unanimous decision. Rav says, no. Filu teimer Rav Moshe. You can even explain in Rav Moshe why. Maiti la b'kal v'chomer midinei fashot. You can learn it out as a kal v'chomer midinei fashot. Ma dinei fashot chamir yam rachman azindu bat aruba. By dinei fashot where it says you go after the majority. Mamonot go kosh again. Then certainly by dinei mamonot, you're going to say that you go after the majority. If for life and death situations you can paskin after the majority, then by mamonot you can certainly paskin after the majority over here. Now, the problem, and this is what Tosus raised, we actually did this together in Baba Basra, I quote you this Tosus here from Sanhedrin. This Tosus says, wait a minute, we know there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, it's found in Baba Kama, it's found we saw in Baba Basra, that whether Hochim Achara Rov B'mamon. Do you have to go after the Rov B'mamon? And Shmuel says, Ein Hochim Achara Rov B'mamon. We don't go after the Rov by Mamon. Guess what? You know what Rav Moshe just said? You do go after the Rov by Mamon. And we know we paskin this way, that you do have to go after the Rov by Mamon. So how do you reconcile Shmuel's position? We're going to paskin like, Ein Hochim Achara Rov B'mamon. And over here we say we do go after the Rov B'mamon. So Tosus says over here, Tzarech Hamod, the Ruba del Radio. Tosus says it's a different type of Rov. Doesn't explain what it means. It says the Rov by Shmuel's Rov and the Rov over here are two different cases of Rov. What do you mean there are two different cases of Rov? So this will explain the Reb Chaim, the famous Reb Chaim here, explains that by Beis Din it's different. When we talk about a Rov by Beis Din, it's not that afterwards, you come to a Psak Halacha, you have three Dayanim. Two say yes, right, and one says no. So when two says yes, one says no, it's as if the number, the one disappears. It's not like Rov, that we say that Rov means that you have two versus one and then we go after the Rov. Now, Rov by Beis Din means that two versus one means the one's not there anymore. And it's as if the Beis Din as a whole has now made a unanimous decision in that direction. Well, Zagim Marmion has specific applications. It won't apply there, but...
You have a principle. You know, there's a Dayan here. It's not all the same. Well, the court voted X.
Right, that we want, and that is something, well, maybe we'll do it, pick a day, I'll do an introduction to Sanhedrin. One of the things that we're trying to protect is the judicial system as a whole, that we don't want dissent, even though there can be dissent within the system when there's coming to adjudication, but we don't want this, once the halacha is given out, the psak halacha, we want a consistent face. We want it to be a unanimous decision. So that rove dictates how we present the position. But the rov doesn't tell you that there's still two versus one. It becomes a single decision. By Shmuel's din, Ein Hochim Achara Rov means that when it's a rov and we're trying to paskin halacha, we're trying to make a decision. Like rov shvarim are used for plowing. Rov shvarim are used for this. There we will not go Hochim Achara Rov. Why? Because afterwards it's still a rov. The reason what you're trying to do is paskin based on the rov. Over there we will not do that. That's the type of rov that we do not in Mamon have. The rov by Beis Din is a different type of rov. There we will subscribe to that rov because that rov is a different rov. That's a rov that becomes unanimous. Instead of rov being something that we're still passing, that there's a majority and minority, and we'll just subscribe to the majority. That's not the type. There we say, Elohim achar a rov b'mamon. Over here, when we say, Elohim achar a rov b'mamon, it's a case where the majority becomes the unanimity afterwards. And that's the difference that the Reb Chaim explains that Tosus is suggesting over here, or what he hints to, and that being a different type of rov. Right now, Tana Rabbanan, Dinei Mamonot B'Shlosha, Rabbi Omer B'Chamisha, Kidei Shigmor Adin B'Shlosha. So, Dinei Mamonot have three. Rabbi says you have to have five. Kidei Shigmor Adin B'Shlosha. So that the din will end with three. It says, Ata B'Tlata, Amidol Gamar B'Dina B'Trei. He says, so what? So we're also going to rule majority. Even when you have three, you're also going to rule the majority. The Gemara over here wants
even
to say...
Right.
So you still have... Even if you have... If you start with five, you say three versus two. Start with three, you have two versus one. You're still ruling by the majority. So why, what's worse about this? No, it says... So Achi Gemara B'Pnei Gemara Din B'Shlosha. I mean, I already explained what it means. But Gemara Din means that you have to... He wants to finish. He wants the Pesach Halacha to be with three. So Al Mokas Zavrat Zlata Kiktive B'Gemara Din Kiktive. So that means that when it comes to the Gemara Din, that the three Elohims that are written there, it's talking about not about the adjudication itself, but rather the Gemara Din has to be stated or given by three. So Megali for Rabbi Bo, but this is, you know, he cursed them. There's no explanation. You can't say that. Elamiato Tei Sanhedrin Gdolat Zricha Me'av Arba'im Vechad. You need 141 in the Sanhedrin Gdolat, so you have a Psak Din with 71. Right? Kadesh Gemara Din B'Shimim Vechad. Utei Sanhedrin Gdolat Zricha Arba'im V'chamisha. She need 45 by a basin of 23. Kadesh Gemara Din B'Shlosha V'Esrim. In order that you have 23. Even though Tosu says that we only know 20 by a Sanhedrin Katana, and then we need a majority of 2. So that's how we get to 23. Said so you really should only need, right, you should only need 40, you need like 43 over here, 41 over here. Right, you should only, 39, he suggests that you should have enough over here by 39. But alright. Be that as it may, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to apply it to every base. Then you can't just apply it to base number three. That can't barely be the that can't be the explanation. Ella, what? Asfalei shivim ish amar rachmano b'shat asifa. It says, get them together for me 70 men b'shat asifa. The time that he's gathering them. Time to gather them is when they're coming to adjudicate. At that point, you need 70 shivim b'shaftu aida v'tzilu aida. That by 23, how do we learn out of basin of 23? It says, v'shaftu eida v'tzil eida. So you have to have enough that says shaftu is the negative, 10, eida, we're going to see a second, it's 10. V'tzil eida, 10 to the positive side. Nami, v'shat shvita ta'eida. It's the time that he comes to bring the eida together, the time that they're coming to judge. When's that? That's the start of the case. So you have 10 eida, we know why. Because eida, we learn out from the meraglim, that eida means 10. So you have v'tzil eida, and shaftu eida gives you 10, and 10 gives you 20, basin of 20. You have to win by a majority, so you need 21. But we have the pasuk, which we'll get to later, that by dinei nefashot, you need a majority of 2. The only way to get a majority of 2 is to have 23 and not have 22. Oh, if you put in 22, you'd have a majority of 2, but then you have an even base then again, so you need to go to 23. But nevertheless, it's talking about the time that you gather the judges together. Right? So now, same thing. Right, so that's also, when it's Nikrab, Nikrab means when you come to the Beis Din. That's when you need three. You don't need three at the Pesach, you need three at the start. So then that cannot be the reasoning of, right, that cannot be the reasoning of, Rabbi. Elohainu Tami the Rabbi. I'll explain the reasoning, Rabbi. Share Yarshiun Elohim. Trey Ne'emar. When it says Yarshiun, Yarshiun's in plurals, that means two. Ne'emar Elohim Lamata. Ne'emar Elohim Lamala. It says Elohim at the bottom. It says Elohim above. Malamata Shnaim. After Malashnaim. So just like the Elohim, the word means two times below, because it's Shari Shiun in plural. It means two judges. So to above in the Pashto Shomer Chinam, it also means two judges. So if that's the case, now you have what? Vein Beis and Shoko. You have four. And you can't have a Beis and Shoko. Mosifin Alem Orechad. Or you can't Chamisha. You add one more, and you get to five. So that's how I get to five judges. Because I learned the plural of Yarshiun, and then I apply that Yarshiun to the Elohim above. Rabbanan, Yarshiun, Ktiv. The pasuk is written Chaser. Since the pasuk is written Chaser, even though it's pronounced in the plural, when you mean that the Nekudot, or the Masorah that we have to pronounce it is in the plural, nevertheless, the way it's written in the Torah is Yarshiun in the, or Yarshiun, right, in the singular form, and therefore, you only can learn one judge out from there. If you learn one judge out, then you only have three judges. So the Chachamim require three by one note, and Rabbi requires five. Okay, we'll stop over here.